Good morning, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 4. The urgency of our times is always upon us to carry out the ministry of reconciliation, that is, reconciling, bringing back together men with and women with God. God has given us the word of reconciliation, or the ministry of reconciliation, and he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation, how to do it, how to bring them back together. And we are to joyfully bring the glorious message of God's great love to men and women in every corner of the world. I've listened to the fears of people. The fears of people in other countries, the fears of people within our country. I've listened to the fears even among those whom the things most surely believed among us has been taught to, and yet now has faded over time because of things that they have heard, things that they have read, conversations that they've had that have broken down the wonderful truths or cause them to doubt the great truths that God has set for us. Some in our country believe all is lost and therefore are fighting against everything they can fight against. Others put their hope in a new administration. All the while, the great administration of grace of our times is not adhered to and practiced, and that's why they're not seeing it. They're not seeing the deliverance because they are not practicing the great truths that God has given to us in the administration of grace. They speak about it. For some, grace has become an occasion to the flesh, as Paul confronted and reproved the church in Galatia, rather than the glorious opportunity to have such freedom to walk like Christ and to enjoy the relationship, that love relationship that Jesus Christ had with God the Father, and we also may share in it. And all of that has been laid before us and given to us. We just have to get our minds and our hearts to embrace that great truth. Love in all of its fullness, living like people who are loved by God, like men and women who've been reconciled to God, and having the opportunity, if to put it in a vernacular perhaps of our times, is to be the spokesperson of what it is to live in victory, to be the spokesperson and the demonstrator of what it is and the visual proof of what it is to be a child of God, to be bigger than the fears of the world. I believe that if we are bigger than the fears of the world, then people can see something that will give them confidence to no longer fear. I was watching a program the other day, and there was a potential for an accident, and they avoided the accident and all this stuff. And the father was very concerned about all these different problems and wanting to protect his child and wanting to watch over his child. And the grandfather just approached it as a victorious situation that they overcame. The child would go anywhere with the grandfather, but he was afraid to leave the house and go home with his father because of the fears there. And they finally sat down, the father and the grandfather, and the father said to the grandfather, "Why is it he will do anything with you, but he's even afraid of me?" And he said, "Because you have not become bigger than his fear. And once you become bigger than his fear, he will have the trust in you to go anywhere." I think that is a way of looking at it in our relationship with God, that we so trust in God's love for us. That little boy was so confident in his grandfather, and his grandfather walked with such a confidence that child had great trust in his grandfather And yet, because the Father always spoke of fears and always, no, don't, can't do this, don't do that, you know, and all these different things, that he did not find a place of confidence in his Father. We can always find a place of confidence and a place of trust, a place of absolute believing and faith in our God, our Heavenly Father. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, of course, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. This is such a wonderful verse, and I always bring my mind and my heart back to this verse, because that is the dynamic that the first century church walked in. They knew God loved them, they believed God loved them, and when they knew it and believed it, they began to live like men and women whom God loves, and fears left, inability vanished, and other people saw in them a place of safety and sought out their counsel. It says in verse 17, herein, well, wherein? In knowing and believing the love that God hath to us. If we know it and we believe it, knowing and believing that God hath to us, herein is our love made perfect. Meaning, the word perfect here means lacking absolutely nothing. Complete, full. It's the final step, absolute maturity. It's the arriving at the final step, which is the beginning and the end. Totally reaches its peak, reaches its intended purpose. And here's what the love of God does and its intended purpose. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And the day of judgment is today. It's man's day. This is the day in which man does all the judging. And man does his judging from his fears, basically. God does his judging from his love. Because, and the reason we can speak with boldness is because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we. So if God is love, and love never fails, how are we to be in this world? Never failing. If love is unconditional and God is love, how are we to be in this world? Well, it has to be an unconditional love that never fails. There are no conditions. It's unconditional that we are victorious in everything because God loves us. And we know it and we believe it. We have full faith. It is rock solid. We are standing on the firmest ground we could ever stand on, purest granite beneath our feet, unmovable, unchangeable. We stand on that great truth. It is rock solid, and we have complete confidence that God is love and that his love is directed toward us unconditionally, unfailing, is that love toward us. And that relationship that we love him back, he loves us, we love him back, and we have a rock solid, full, strong relationship with him that won't change. Isn't that beautiful? That's why we can speak boldly. If I wasn't sure about God's love, I would have difficulty speaking boldly about God's love. And I'm going to share with you in a moment on the word boldness. But if we weren't sure that God is love, if we were not sure that God had committed unto us the word of reconciliation and given us the ministry or the service of reconciling men and women back to him, then there would be opportunities and cause to doubt. Then there would be fluctuation in our life. But if we are absolutely convinced, and the reason I am convinced is because I have in me his spirit, and I manifest it. It always, for me, comes back to speaking in tongues. The minute I speak in tongues, I know. There is no question in my mind. The only reason I can do that is because I have his gift of Holy Spirit, and his word is absolutely true. I have found that his promises are absolutely established, and they are absolutely real, and I have absolute confidence in it. And that when the scriptures say, we have known and believed the love that God has to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, herein is our love made perfect, then I am absolutely confident it's done, it's perfect, it already is in this world while there are judgments of men all around. Our love is his love with us. That whole love relationship is complete. Herein, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. The word boldness is the Greek word parrhesia. It comes from two words, para and rhesia. Para means to be with or alongside, parallel to. And the word rhesia comes from the root word rio. And I'll show you what that means and why it is so confidence, and that we have experienced the love. Because that it says we have known, and the word known is by experience. You think of areas in your life. You think of the things you have seen in your life, the things you have watched happen, and you know because of your experience the love of God was there, unquestionably. It was the love of God that pulled you through. It was the love of God that happened. You read about situations and records of things that have happened to people, and you know that the only reason those things happened was because of God's great love. That's why we have boldness to speak without fear, from a point that is morally, ethically, and most of all, spiritually free. We can speak without fear. Why? Because God upholds his word, and we absolutely believe it. The word parrhesia is the exact opposite of paranoia, which is how man speaks boldly. The man or woman who is ruled by the love of God speaks without fear. The man or woman ruled by his own passions speaks shamelessly about their fears. We talk about being homophobic. We talk about being xenophobic. It's all the fears that men have, and it's like that program that was popular years ago, Fear Factor. You do something, they take you up on top of a building, and you have to do something, walk out on a ledge, and all these different things to prove that you don't have any fears. And the only reason you're doing that is because you're already terrified. and you think that acting on your fear is going to prove to everybody else, I wasn't afraid of it. I don't know how many of them get back up on that ledge ever again when they make it. And those that slip off definitely are not going to get back up on that ledge again. But that's how it, they speak of their fears. They speak out of their fears. And they call everyone else, well, it's homophobic. It's so, and they think the way to get over it is to participate in it. Or to give their acknowledgement of it. Or to encourage it among others. That is paranoia. That's the boldness they have, is a paranoia. The boldness we have is parisia, because it is motivated out of our deep love for God because of his great love for us, and he has proven it time and time again. You know, phobia comes from the Greek god Phobos. And Phobos was not afraid. He caused other people to be afraid. He caused his enemies to be afraid. But that's how they live, and that's how they move, and that's what they bring to people. What they induce in people is greater fear for themselves. And so to cover it, you try and like it. You try to encourage it. You want to be a part of it. So nobody will accuse me of the thing. But the truth is, we release people from their fears because God made us bigger than their fears. I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? Behold, fear not, he tells people. Is God afraid of anything? Absolutely not. Then as he is, so are we, what?
In this world.
And that is because we have parisia, the boldness to speak. We've reached the final step. We've gone up there. We are absolutely complete and mature. Therefore, we have the boldness to speak. I'd like you to go to John chapter 7, Gospel of John. I want to read this to you. There is such a need for men and women who know God's love and believe that God loves them to speak out and to tell people of that wonderful, safe place, that they are not without God, that they should be afraid because they are not without God, but that they should know him as a loving father. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. I'm a little slow getting there. And as you notice, I don't have my New King James Version, but I'm working my way there. I'll read it to you sometime. But I wanted to read this to you because that word boldness, parisia, means with or alongside, parallel to, and now the second part of that word, risia, is the Greek word rio, or it comes from the root rio. And here in John chapter 7, we'll start in verse 38. It says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive into manifestation to be able to function with it. For the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet crucified. And this is talking about before the day of Pentecost, before people could be born again, before people could manifest that Spirit. And that manifestation is speaking in tongues. we hear you speak in our languages the mighty works of God, the wonderful works of God. The word flow in verse 38, shall flow rivers of water, is the Greek word rheousosin, which comes from the same word rheo. To speak that which is spoken, or out of the innermost being, he shall speak rivers of living water, is the text. When we speak with boldness, it is because of that gift of Holy Spirit that is within us. We have the opportunity to speak. And God's word is what guides us. God's word is at the center of it. It is the Spirit of God at work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why we can speak with absolute boldness, equally to that Spirit of God that is within us, alongside with that Spirit of God within us. We should have absolutely no fear to go into any situation and speak words that will release people from their fears, because it's God at work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We ought to get confident that we do have the boldness. We ought to get confident that when we speak, speak the words of God, that they will be released from their fears, because that's what released us from our fears. Not doing some wild act doing some strange thing to get over our fears. Fear is not a factor for us. Fear is not even a truth for us. It's not a factor. It's not a truth. It's nothing for us in the reality of the presence of the power of God that is within us. That's why we speak boldly in the day of judgment. And we need to speak, because what we have within us is greater than all the fears of the world. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We ought to speak with boldness in our day and time. Our times are urgent. All times are urgent. And people need deliverance, but they won't get it campaigning for against social injustice, because social injustice will be just that, social injustice. Social engineering will be just that, social engineering. Doesn't release anybody from anything. All it does is rearrange. But if we really want people to be free, and we want to stand in that mature place that God has set for us to take the final step to be at that level. Because how many of you, as you have grown in life, are going to reverse? You don't. You reach a maturity, and from there you just keep going once you've reached that maturity. That's what every mature believing, when we know and believe the love that God hath to us, then we should have the boldness and confidence to speak the word with great boldness and relieve people from their fears. There is a way out. There is a great truth. God is with us, and he will deliver his people out of every fear that they might have. And then, of course, 1 John 4 goes on to tell us verse 18, there is no fear in love. Love and fear cannot occupy the same place at the same time, just like light and darkness cannot occupy the same place at the same time. And which has the greater power?
Love.
Yeah, light and love, exactly. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love, casteth out what?
Fear.
Because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let's take on our responsibility to reconcile men and women back to God so that they can walk and live fearlessly. Bless your hearts.